This last talk is Host-Associated Hybrid Behavior, a Novel Aspect of Post-Mating Isolation in, leaf beetles. Scott Egan at Vanderbilt.
So my interests lie in the process of speciation and specifically the role that natural selection plays in generating new species. The term ecological speciation kind of encapsulates that. This is defined as a process by where reproductive isolation arises between populations as a result of divergent natural selection between these habitats, and we've heard a lot of great studies about that today in this section. And obviously, insects feeding on different host plant species is a perfect example to study such a pattern. One such system is Neoclimbus bebiani leaf beetles. This is a Christ-melded leaf beetle that's distributed across the eastern U.S. or North America. It actually forms host-associated populations on six different tree species. However, I will focus this talk on populations associated with beb willow and red maple St. Patrick in northeastern United States. When I refer to populations on a specific host plant, I'll term those host forms, and their host plants as native plants. So to study speciation, one needs to study different reproductive isolating barriers as a way to do that, and those barriers can occur either pre or post mating. In Neoclimbuses, we've already uncovered fairly strong habitat isolation, where individuals tend to spend more time on their own host plant, thus encounter the alternative less often. We found that in isolation in the lab, males and females tend to mate preferentially, although both of those barriers are only partial. And then my thesis has been spent doing a lot of the post-mating barriers. So for example, individuals tend to lay fewer eggs when they mate with the alternative host plant, host form. And those eggs tend to be less viable if they're from an inter host form mating versus an intra. And then finally, it seems that the F1 and F2 hybrids tend to perform not as well as the parents in each of those environments. And so we've described some of the barriers, but we haven't described all the barriers. And to understand the process, we want to understand how the different relative barriers are contributing. And one barrier that's not been studied very often in general and is unknown in this system is the role that behavior plays in hybrids and how they might function. And specifically what I'm thinking about are two forms of behavior. One is foraging, how they interpret their environment and stimuli in that their parents are adapted to these two different host plants. And the second that I won't be able to talk about today is any mating behaviors that might be different. And I could talk to you about that after this talk if you're interested. And so again, the interesting question I'm here is what role does behavior play in the speciation process, specifically thinking about foraging behaviors of F1 hybrids versus their parents in these environments. And although it seems like you might have just a simple question of do I like host plant A or do I like host plant B, in the St. Patrick areas in northern Vermont where I do my work, it's quite a complex scenario. You have plants right next to each other, interdigitating with branches, with other host plants all around there. And so it's quite a complex thing that you might imagine could be difficult for a hybrid. And so I sampled populations in northern Vermont along the Connecticut River in a St. Patrick area, brought them back into the lab, reared them to adulthood, mated them up. I created about 60 families of each, the pure maple and pure willow line, and 60 families, the F1, 30 in each reciprocal direction. Had the females lay eggs in the greenhouse, harvested those eggs, and upon emergence, put them through some foraging behavior studies. So the way I did that is I took these naive larvae just as they had emerged and placed them in a petri dish with cuttings of each of their parental host plants and then one St. Patrick non-host plant. I then observed them in their foraging behaviors for 2 hours, measuring their location, whether they were in the arena on each of the three plants, and their behaviors, whether they were feeding, crawling, or just sitting stationary. And I did that every 5 minutes for 2 hours. I then kind of categorized some of these variables into three different groups. One was efficiency, and what I term efficiency is the time it takes an animal to kind of reach its host during this 2-hour trial. And then the second one would be time economy, how they spent their time during this two-hour foraging study. Did they stay on one plant? Did they go to multiple plants? And how much time did they spend on each of those plants? And then last was, and what ends up being pretty interesting is their decision making. How often did they reject a plant, step onto a cutting and then step off? And how often did they switch between plant species? And then how much time did they just spend searching around the arena? As you can see, my little cartoon figure. Cool. All right. So how what played out here? So first, I'll talk about that first category, which is time efficiency. And so on the x-axis, what I'll show you is I've lumped pure crosses, both willow and maple. They were both always in the same direction, and the reciprocal hybrids were never statistically different, so I lumped those together as well. So I'll just show things as either pure or hybrids and how they differed in these trials. And then on your y-axis, I'll have each of the types of variables that I'll describe as I move through here. So first off, in efficiency, the time it took an individual to reach a plant did not differ between pure hybrids. To me, that meant that the hybrids were functioning. They didn't have huge genetic incompatibilities that allowed them to just not move and die. So they're functioning to some degree, moving and going to plants just as often as a pure. But what's interesting is that when you start looking at the time it took them to reach either their maternal plant or the paternal plant, they tended to reach that that plant slower, with reaching the maternal plant only marginally significantly slower, and then reaching the paternal plant statistically significantly slower than the pures. And so then there's this next category, which is time economy. So they may reach plants slower, but how do they spend their time once they get there? And again, on average, hybrids tended to spend about the same amount of time on a plant. But when you ask how much time did they spend on the maternal plant or paternal plant, they always spent less time. And so those are the plants for which their parents were adapted, yet they're spending less time in these behavioral assays. So I thought that was quite interesting. And then the last one was this decision making, how they moved around the arena, what they were thinking about. And so here I measured this in three different ways. The first is time spent crawling. So this is just the number of observations I made where they were crawling around the arena and not on a host plant. And here, hybrids tended to crawl much more often than the pures, wandering around, it appeared, aimlessly at times, almost not reacting to stimuli. Second was the number of rejections. So this would be the number of times they stepped onto a plant, were on there for one observation, and then left. And hybrids tended to do this statistically more than the pures. So they would step on and then off and then on and then off. And then lastly would be the number of plant switches. So this would be separate from rejections in that they had to move from one species of cutting to one of the other cuttings. So rather than just step on and off any cutting, they actually specifically moved from one plant to the other. And all the trend was in another the direction I might predict if hybrids were dysfunctional. It was not statistically significant. And I should note that this data summarizes not only just one year. This is two different years where we've collected from the same locality, so this has been repeated over years. So what are my conclusions based on this? So first, it appears that hybrids tend to be dysfunctional in interpreting their host stimuli in these arenas. They're both less efficient, they're less economic with their time, they don't spend as much time on the plants for which their parents were adapted, and they're less decisive, they tended to wander around. And how might dysfunctional foraging behaviors might translate in the wild? Well, here I might think that they might increase their appearance to natural enemies, predators, and parasitoids, and they might actually decrease their ratio of maybe energy intake to energy output. And that's consistent with performance data I get with hybrids, where hybrids tend to grow much slower and take longer to develop on each of the parental host plants. And lastly, I might note that even though these types of behavioral aspects of fitness have not been explored as much in ecological speciation, this may be a general problem for the entire genus of Neoclimysis. On the far left here, you have three different host plants, willow, alder, and maple, for which Neoclimysis babiani forms host-adapted populations. And so they're left with these kind of decisions if they're hybridizing in nature. And even in the southern distribution, where Neoclimysis babiani forms host-associated populations on river birch, red maple, and another sister species forms a population on sycamore on the far right. Again, they have these sympatric distributions where they're going to have to make these decisions. So this type of dysfunctional foraging behavior might have a very important consequence for ecological speciation. And then lastly, when you think about what contribution hybrid dysfunction might play relative to other barriers that we've already uncovered in the system, in an absolute sense, hybrid behavioral dysfunction tends to play an equal or a stronger role than some of the other barriers that are more traditionally looked at. So I think that's an important clue that we might need to look at these types of barriers more in the future. And with that, I will make some acknowledgments for all the people that helped me maintain hundreds of families and thousands of offspring in the lab, help with the behavioral analyses, which are very long to do on all these individuals, and then special thanks go to the Funk Lab and my PhD committee for their intellectual contributions to this study. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes. Yes, John. Right, I did use the juveniles in this study.
And so, do you think that most of the host selection is actually accomplished by the juvenile stages or by the adults?
Right, I think that it's probably adults do it more. The larvae do have that opportunity, and that I said, these habitats do overlap, they do experience these branches. But even in isolation, I think these behaviors might also be true. So we've done some pilot studies where we put hybrids on just a plant and kind of observe their behaviors through time, and they also tend to kind of bumble around, fall off to some degree, because they're just walking around more and not feeding. So, but yes, I would like to do that with the adults in the future. Good point. Right. Thanks.